We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Good morning,
diarrhea.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7, The Game.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm feeling good about this Friday. You know what's funny? Just a little side note. With this whole open to the pregame show, we've been using it ever since the inception of the pregame show. And I recently watched The Matrix last weekend. And that song by Rage Against the Machine is the song that builds up when they play the credits of The Matrix, and you're like, oh, that was sick! So, that's pretty much how I feel every time I hear that bed in the background, as John Curley looks at me with a smirk and a frown in a way that's unsettling. Good morning, everybody! Stephen Langford in with you, 95.7 The Game. This is the pregame show. We call it the pregame show, not because we are doing this before a game, but simply because, well, we got the game here, and we're talking about what's coming up a little later on the game, and what I'm going to be talking about is not necessarily what they're going to be talking about all show today, but because I'm going to go a little different path from 5 to 6. You will be hearing the interview of the day coming up at about 5:40, in case you missed any big interviews we have on the station, as we continually do, but I wanted to start out today because we got the Raiders and the Titans. We got the Niners and the Saints. We've been talking about it all week, and I'm very ready for the weekend, but I have a question, and I want to throw it out to you, Chilton Autobody text line, and this is a very selfish question, but this is something I think that can relate to a lot of people, and maybe you are in the same dilemma. But if you're like me, you barely squeaked into the playoffs in fantasy football. I only made it in one of my three leagues. The other two, don't know how it happened. One of them's the work league. I need a guru to come up with a big win over Bonte Hill, and that just didn't happen. They didn't mention it on 10-2, but I've mentioned it constantly on this show. I'm very sorry, guru, but, I mean, you couldn't get the win?
Hell no.
Yeah, well, yeah. What can you do? But, I made it in one of my leagues, and we had an auction draft this year, so that means that we, you know, had a budget of $200, and you could spend however much you wanted on every single draft pick, and it gets pretty interesting toward the end when you don't have many stars taken off the board. You got a bunch of money left, and you could just outbid everyone for these good players and just fill out your lineup. But one guy I spent a lot of money on was Patrick Mahomes. And this week, in the quarterfinal, he's going to be playing the New England Patriots. And when they had a bye week in week 12, I had to pick up a backup quarterback. And the backup quarterback is Ryan Tannehill. And Tannehill just so happens to be going up against the Oakland Raiders. So I want to know from you, Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. Should I go with Tannehill over Mahomes? I need help. I know, Dibs. I need help. Tannehill over Mahomes. Tannehill's killed the Raiders in his career. The last game he went up against them, he threw 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. There was also one other touchdown thrown, but that was actually thrown by Albert Wilson. So I need to know from you, Chilton Autobody text line at 95795. Do I start Tannehill over Mahomes? Is that an actual thing that should even pop into my mind? We'll be taking your start or sit questions all show today, because I think legitimately fantasy football is what's on everyone's mind right now. And I'm sure you got questions going into this weekend, because that's all I could think about. Last night we had the Cowboys and Bears, and the Bears won. Mitch Trubisky doing that thing again where he's convincing everybody that he's a good quarterback. Any instance of Cam Newton possibly coming to the team? Do you want Cam Newton there? Nah, we're good with Mitch. So he's going to make you continue to believe that. If they consistently run it the way they were using him in that system yesterday, then maybe he could be successful. But again, this is the type of thing that these quarterbacks do. They convince you with one game that they are that franchise quarterback that they've always thought they could be. Then it turns out that they're just not that great. And Ryan Tannehill was that guy over in Miami for a while. He would, you know, just he'd have nothing games, and then instantly would have one good game and convince everybody that he is the best quarterback going right now. And that's all the Dolphins need. From the 3-2-3, you don't bench your stars during playoffs. You will regret it if your starter goes off, but you can live with your backup going off. True. And for the 5-1-0, ride or die with Mahomes. I was leading Mahomes, right? I was leaning Mahomes, but then I saw Tannehill's numbers against the Raiders. And it's just, it's hard to, I overthink fantasy a lot. And when I'm thinking about Ryan Tannehill, where he's at now, on a 6-1 since he's a starter on this Titans team, he's got Derrick Henry, who's probably just going to run all over the Raiders. So, you know what? They might not even use Tannehill all that much, and he won't be meaning that much in terms of fantasy value. But it's just how dominant he's been. Even with the Dolphins last season, he was able to throw 3 touchdowns and no picks. From the 925, I start Tannehill against a poor Raiders pass defense. From the 925, shootout in New England, lots of points, play Mahomes. I mean, it's looking like Mahomes is going to be the guy for everybody. And you know what? I'm leaning towards him, and if I start him this weekend and he doesn't do anything against a Patriots defense, which is very good, statistically, they're up there with some historic defenses. But also, they gave up 3 touchdowns to Deshaun Watson last week. So anything could happen with Patrick Mahomes. I'm probably going to ride with him. But feel free to text in with any of your kind of favorites for this weekend. We can make it Bay Area related for the Raiders and the Titans. If I had to choose one guy from that Raiders-Titans matchup that I think is going to go off, and anyone who has this guy in the playoffs this weekend, if you're in the quarterfinal in your fantasy football playoffs and you have Derrick Henry, I think that's going to do wonders for you. Now in his career against the Raiders, Derrick Henry hasn't done much. He's only rushed like 16 times for 70 yards, and that's in 2 games. So they've limited him a little bit, and also they weren't using Derrick Henry like they were using him. They weren't using Derrick Henry in 2016 and 2017 like they're using him in 2019. So if I had to choose one guy from the Raiders and the Titans game that's gonna go off and that's gonna have a good game, it's gonna be Derrick Henry. If I had to choose one from the Niners and the Saints, this one's a little tougher. This one's a little tougher because these guys on the Niners, I don't know if they've necessarily, like, considering how good their defense is, I don't think the Niners have been great in terms of fantasy football. And the only one who I'm actually starting, and I did this yesterday, I overthought it, didn't think Mitch Trubisky was going to have the game he was going to have against the Cowboys, but I didn't start Allen Robinson yesterday. And he's had a pretty good past few weeks. You know who I started in his place? Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel is the guy in the Niners and the Saints game who I think can have a big impact. I don't know what's going to happen with the running game. And a question I'm going to ask a little later on in the show is, it's not going to be fantasy related. I'm only going to go off on the first segment for fantasy stuff because, I mean, that's really all that's on my mind right now. But are they going to use Raheem Mostert as the feature back? Are they going to use Matt Breida as just that second guy who comes in on third downs? And are they going to use Tevin Coleman exclusively in the passing game? Is that how it's going to be? Or are they going to continue with the running back by committee and just kind of split the carries, give it to whoever has a hot hand? And that's going to be a question I'm going to throw out a little later on in the show. But these Niners have been tough to crack in terms of fantasy because they've been you know, top three team in the NFL for a very long time. And you don't know whether on offense you should start Jimmy Garoppolo, whether you should start Matt Breida, whatever he's healthy, if you should start Emmanuel Sanders when he came over to the Niners. It's been a tough team to crack with fantasy-wise. But if I'm going to have to choose one, it would be Michael Thomas. It'd be Michael Thomas on the Saints. Just because regardless, I don't even think if Michael Thomas goes off, I don't even think that necessarily means that the, in terms of fantasy points at least, I don't think that means that the Niners are going to lose by any stretch. So I think if you're a Niner fan and you got Michael Thomas on one of your teams, you can rely on him going off and also your own team winning. I think that's where you should be at. From the Chilton Autobody text line, 957-95 from the 510. Don't be a bonehead. Go with Mahomes. It's going to rain in Oakland. And from the 510, Raiders are that team that play well when you least expect and play like a JV team when you expect them to compete. Well, that's the situation that they're in right now. This AFC playoff picture is a little more open than we're giving it credit for, right? I know the past two games, they've been so ugly, you're not even thinking about wild card situations or anything like that. And most likely, it's going to be the Ravens and the Patriots who lock up that first round bye, and you can almost guarantee that the Bills and the Chiefs are going to be in there, depending on what happens. Unless something catastrophic happens with the Bills, they're probably going to win at least one more game. And the Chiefs are looking like they're going to win the AFC West, so they're going to be either the third or the fourth seed, depending on what happens with the AFC South. But the Steelers, the Titans, the Raiders, and even the Colts are all in the thick of things right now. And if they manage to get wins this weekend, then we're looking at a different story. Because the Raiders getting the win over the Titans, that would put them both at 7-6. If the Colts get the win over Tampa Bay, which is very tough, and I know we look at Tampa Bay as a laughing stock because Jameis Winston throws so many interceptions, but that's an exciting team. I'm sorry. The Buccaneers are a very exciting team to watch. In terms of teams that are most watchable to me, ones you're most excited to see on television, the Buccaneers are up there for me. I know that sounds crazy, but it's just how unexpected they are and how good they can be at times. But if the Colts get the win over the Buccaneers, Raiders get the win over the Titans, and then, I mean, if the Steelers lose to the Cardinals, the Steelers are the ones that are up there in the sixth seed right now. They would all be 7-6. So you'll have four teams 7-6. And I don't think that the Texans are going to lose to the Broncos, but then they could be 8-5 after that. They're most likely going to be 9-4. So you look like the AFC playoffs are pretty solidified here with the Bills, the Chiefs, and probably the Texans and the Ravens and the Patriots who have that first round bye. But that sixth seed is wide open, and it's going to be a four-team race. And if the Raiders do get the win, that can make things a little interesting. So Titans, Raiders, Colts, and Steelers. And, oh, by the way, the Browns could be 6-7 after this week. There's a lot that could happen in the AFC playoff picture. It's important for the Raiders to get the win. I actually want to continue to talk about them. And I want to go to you on the Chilton Autobody text line. What is your key for the Raiders to win against the Titans at home? I know it's in a rainy day game. Do you have faith in Derek Carr to get it done? Or do you just want it all to be Josh Jacobs and nothing but Josh Jacobs? Chilton Autobody text line, 957-95-888-957-9570. If you want to get in on the conversation, Stephen Langford on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. I'm looking at the Chilton Auto Body text line here at 95795, and I think the more appropriate question is, I mean, is this the make or break game for Derek Carr? Because I'm seeing here, let's check it out, from the 510, faith in DC is waning. If he lays a goose egg like the last 2 weeks, I expect a new QB next season in Las Vegas, from a different 510 number. DeShone Kizer is second string now. If Carr can't get it going, I could see a change. Like, is there a point where this is just the make or break game for Derek Carr? Is this the one where you're, because, like, here's the thing. They're not going to have a new quarterback heading into Las Vegas. Carr's going to be that guy. Regardless of what happens this season, DeShone Kizer's not coming in there. So he, just because they look at DeShone Kizer as a future quarterback in Las Vegas. They're doing that because Mike Glennon, damn, I just botched the Gruden impression talking about Glennon. Mike Glennon, man. But when DeShone Kizer is coming in here and he's been holding the clipboard for a while, we've seen what Mike Glennon could do when he comes into the game. It was useless against the Jets. That's why DeShone Kizer is the backup. He's not here because, oh yeah, it's because Derek Carr's, you know, waning, and they're not going to have him going into Las Vegas. They're going to have Carr going into Las Vegas. But is this just the game where you're thinking, if he doesn't perform, that takes him out of the AFC playoff picture completely? I know it sounds crazy, but there are a lot of teams that could be 7-6 after this weekend that could be fighting for that one last seed in the wild card for the AFC playoff spot. But is this just a point where when the Raiders go to Las Vegas, you're not even going to be buying in with Derek Carr as the quarterback? This could be a make or break game for him. The thing with him though is, how many weapons has he had besides Amari Cooper? And they didn't use Amari Cooper in the last spot of the season because he just was not thrilled with Gruden coming into the game. Remember, Derek Carr was up there as an MVP candidate when the Raiders were winning and he had Cooper and Crabtree. I know you think that sounds crazy, but 3 years ago, that was a thing. And since then, it just hasn't been the same. So you've seen him do it before. Is he going to win you a Super Bowl? I don't know. But he is a surefire starter, and I think he'd be better than a lot of quarterbacks that you could be putting him in on this team right now. I do think that. And think about how long it took for Carr to understand Gruden's offense. Regardless of anything you think of Carr, whether you think he's way too scared to throw downfield, whether you think just the dinks and dunks are all his fault, regardless of any of that, he's a very smart, cerebral quarterback. He understands things quickly, and he picks things up quickly. Understanding John Gruden's offense is not easy. Bringing in a new quarterback would just set you back a couple of seasons, trying to understand how Gruden wants to run things. That's the issue I see with bringing in another quarterback. Carr might not be the guy to win you a Super Bowl, but if you're bringing in a new quarterback, you're going to have to wait another couple of seasons for the offense to be a well-oiled machine. Because before these duds against the Jets and the Chiefs, we were doing nothing but praising this offense and how well they're doing with Josh Jacobs. So I think, with Josh Jacobs up till his rookie contract, that's probably how long Carr is going to last on this team. That's just what I think. From the 510, they owe DC basically no money after this season. He's going to be very cheap, and it could be very easy for them just to release him. I think the dead cap money's worth is $5 million or something like that. But I do think there is something to be said about how hard it is for these quarterbacks to understand John Gruden's offense. from the 510. As a Raider fan, I believe most Raider fans would agree DC is not the same since the injuries. I think the fact of banged up Josh Jacobs and Rain with a scared DC is too much enough to beat the tough Titans. You know what's crazy is I have seen the label for this for the Titans. 6-1 since Tannehill's start. I've seen the label for this for the Titans, though, and I have seen trap game. Trap game? Going up against a team that's 6-6. I mean, trap game is what it's like when you're going up against the Bengals or going up against the Redskins or going up against, hell, I mean, are the Browns in that conversation? When you're going up against these teams that have no shot, that's how sad this 6-6 record is for the Raiders right now. Is the Titans coming in here, I have seen the label being a trap game for the Titans. You don't call it a trap game for a team when you're going up against the 6-6 team. That's just not what happens. For the 5-0, best thing Raiders could do is draft a quarterback and let him learn behind Carr for 2 years like Rodgers did with Favre. And there could be something to that. You could see that in this draft. Because I'm not sure, how far Tua Tagovailoa is going to fall because of the hip injury. I don't know where Trevor Lawrence is going to go. I don't know where dude from Oregon, Justin Gilbert's going to go. Shout out to Oregon, by the way. Good luck to them against Utah tonight at the Pac-12 championship over at Levi's Stadium. Shout out to my buddy Tyler. All the best. He's not been too thrilled. He's a diehard Oregon fan, and he's not too thrilled with me saying that Tannehill is Tannehill. See, that's what happens when you work with Joe Louis-Dibbs. You start saying Tannehill. When I start saying Tannehill's better than Mariota on the Titans team, he's not too big a fan of that. But shout out to the Ducks going up against the Utes tonight over in Levi's Stadium. They could draft a quarterback and do that. You saw how good Mahomes was out of that Chiefs offense when sitting under a year with Alex Smith. And regardless of what you have to say about Alex Smith, no matter what you think of him, you always heard since his days at Utah that he was a very, again, like Carr, a smart, cerebral quarterback. So that could be the best thing for him. But yeah, that's the only option I see if they're going to make a quarterback switch. I don't see them just trading for any other veteran quarterback. I see them getting a young guy, a guy who would be on Gruden's QB camp, man, who would be on Gruden's quarterback camp and possibly make an impact in the NFL. I think that'd be the route that they would go if they are to move on from Derek Carr. I think it's just tough, you know, just saying that a guy like Carr, you know, shouldn't be the franchise quarterback anymore because of just how the hope we had for him when he was drafted in that second round. You know, you're thinking, we have the guy. Then in 2016, a couple seasons later, you go 12-4 and you're like, we have the guy. And then just a drop off. It's hard to move on. But you know what? Maybe you're going to have to eventually. And the only way you're going to do that, though, to me, like this texter said, is if you do draft a quarterback and you have him sit for a year or two, and then you kind of ease him in to the to Las Vegas and everything going on with that. From the 408, Carr needs a number one receiver. He's still good. That's also going to be a thing, though. Are they going to have another? Are they going to bring in a number one receiver? That's the only one I do see happening is them bringing in possibly a veteran wide receiver. They have a ton in the draft, but you can't just rely on a wide receiver coming out of college to be your number one. Again, if they beat the Titans, they're still within the playoff hunt, but this is where they're at now. It's where they're at. They're calling it a trap game for the Titans. From the 510, Cam Newton. Look, I don't know why anyone would want Cam Newton on their team. He did not look the same. He came back, he hurt himself in the preseason, but even in the preseason, he didn't look himself. Like, I don't understand why anyone would want to bring Cam Newton to their team. That'd be just trading away too much. You'd be giving away too much. For whatever you have to give away for Cam Newton, to me, is too much. Like, the guy, he's a little older, and he's not been the same quarterback since all of his injuries. He's like Andrew Luck, except Andrew Luck was playing through it. Cam Newton, it changed up his whole throwing style and his whole throwing motion. He wasn't able to throw the ball the same. I don't understand why everyone's so infatuated with that. It's just because it's such a big name, and you know he was the MVP one year, and bringing in Cam Newton would be great for anybody. But like, I understand your thinking, I guess, but I just don't actually. I just don't. From the 925, I'd rather have Trubisky than Carr. Okay. If you think Trubisky's a good quarterback, fine. Let last night convince you of that, but this is just the classic situation where a quarterback who's never been very good and has been gotten just pummeled all season by the critics, by the media, by everybody, to the point where he's saying, hey, can you turn off TV in Hallis Hall? And he has one good game and everyone thinks, oh, Trubisky's actually good. It's one good game. It's one good game. Do that on a consistent basis. Then we'll see if he's a good quarterback. But this is just the classic thing. That's what happened with Tannehill over in Miami. That's why they stuck with him for so long, is because he had so many bad games and he'd have one crazy good one and you'd be like, oh, he's this guy. Like the one that he had against the Raiders last year. I don't get the infatuation with Cam Newton, Mitch Trubisky, a lot of these quarterbacks. It's hard finding a good quarterback in the NFL. That might be the most obvious statement I've ever said. All right, coming up, I'm going to preview more of the Niners and the Saints. And I want to know from you on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795, did Raheem Mostert's performance against the Ravens change your tune at all with how they should be using the running backs? Because the stats that Tevin Coleman's had for the past few weeks are pretty eye-opening. Could be getting Matt Breida back. We'll talk about all that. Plus, you'll hear from Zach Streif. He's the Saints play-by-play man, the voice of the Saints, quote-unquote, the voice of the Saints. He was on with Jolo and Dibs yesterday. He will be our interview of the day for the pregame show. I will be on. Stephen Langford on with you till 6 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Look, Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the greatest of all time, best to ever do it. You know he can slice and dice any of these mediocre defenses that he wants to. But I was making this point yesterday. The 49ers aren't that type of mediocre defense. Okay? And there's not going to be situations where the pocket's going to collapse and he's going to be able to break out and just run to the sideline. I really think this is going to be a big game for Nick Bosa. You're going to have a left tackle on the Saints in Teron Armstead, who's coming off injury. They didn't have that. That's why they gave up 6 sacks to the Falcons, because they didn't have the entirety of their left side of the offensive line. But Teron Armstead's going to be coming back, and Nick Bosa is going to surprise him a little bit, because he probably hasn't gone up against a defensive end like Nick Bosa, and Bosa's going to feast. And the left guard is going to be out. They're going to be trying to double-team Buckner all day and get help on that side. Nick Bosa is going to be left one-on-one with Armstead. I think Bosa is going to have a big game. But that's just me. Feel free to contact the Chill Now Body text line, 95795. Tell me if I'm wrong. That may be a very obvious statement, saying that Nick Bosa is going to have a bad game. Might be way more controversial. At right tackle, they got Ryan Ramczyk, who's the top-graded offensive tackle, according to Pro Football Focus. And when you got that, you're going to have Arik Armstead on that side. And I think that, I mean, you're going to have D-Ford back too, but D-Ford could be playing limited snaps. This could be a game going up against a guy like Ramczyk to where Armstead might earn that future contract, to the point where they just say, hey, D-Ford, it was great having you for the year. We risked that second-round pick for you. We took on that contract. But look, we got a guy who hasn't really done well in his rookie contract, and we want to give him an extension. D-Ford, we're going to trade you away, because teams could always use pass rushers, and D-Ford is a very good pass rusher. But this could be the point where they're saying, if Arik Armstead's able to take on Ryan Ramczyk 101, one-on-one, then they'll be like, all right, we might actually need to pay this guy the money. From the 510, not worried about the Saints at all. Niners are going to go into the game ready to make a statement after the Baltimore loss. They've been in Florida the entire time to get ready for the Saints. They're going to be in that Superdome. It's going to be loud. And that's what I'm wondering, because like, I understand that, you know, the Ravens game was loud, but the Superdome is a different type of loud. You go into the Mercedes-Benz Dome, then communication is just way off. But I want to know from you, and we're going to hear from Zach Streif here in a little bit on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. What do you think of the running back situation? Are you just more confident that, hey, we can let them run by committee. We can give them, we can give Mostert 12, 13 carries. We can give Matt Breida 9 carries or so, maybe even 10. And then, just have Tevin Coleman maybe run the ball 8 times and not use him in the passing game as much. Or do you want to use Mostert and Breida as kind of a traditional 1-2? Because Breida's coming back from injury. You don't know whether he's going to be the same. Do you want to use Mostert as that number one guy? You're going to give him 15-plus carries, maybe give Matt Breida 8 or 9, depending on how many times he comes in on third down, and then you just use Tevin Coleman exclusively in the pass game. Do you want that to be the situation? Because the stats are pretty eye-opening when it comes to all three of them, especially in the past few games. Feel free to contact Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Feel free to contact 888-957-9570. But Joe Lo and Dibs, they spoke with Saints voice Zach Streif. He was an offensive lineman for the Saints also. And he talked about this matchup with the 49ers, how the Saints are going to try and combat what the 49ers throw at them. Here he is on Joe Lo and Dibs yesterday. This is the interview of the day on the pregame show.
To the dial pad guest line we go.
Whoa.
Super Bowl champ, 12-year NFL veteran, offensive guard with the Saints. Play-by-play on the Saints radio broadcast this weekend against the Niners. Zach Streif, kind enough to join Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Zach, this is a big one. You've played in several big ones. I remember you watching you win your Super Bowl. I was there in person. For the Niners coming into town this weekend, let's start with this. What do you expect the atmosphere at the Superdome to be like?
Well, first of all, gentlemen, thanks for having me. Appreciate you spending some time with me today. And yeah, listen, the city of New Orleans absolutely lives for games like this. The city's been buzzing all week long, and there's also a reality here that Coach Payton knows and understands not just to how to motivate his team, but how to motivate the crowd here in New Orleans. And so they started really early this week with the crowd about the importance of being there early, the importance of being loud on first, second, and third down. And generally speaking, when Coach Payton calls out the crowd here, it's pretty electric. So I think it's going to be a ton of fun. I think every player on the field is going to feel that.
Zach, who that say they're going to beat them Saints? Who that? Who that? Those 49ers say they're going to beat them Saints, Zach. But when you think about this matchup, let's just talk about the defensive side of the ball. What do you see when you see that Niners front four? What do you like about them? What do you don't like about them?
Well, there's not a whole lot not to like about them. I think, the reality is they've spent a lot of resources on that front, and it shows. A couple of those guys I haven't played against. I did play against DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead and Armstrong. And those guys, listen, those guys are kind of, high-cut, long, explosive athletes. Now, obviously, they go out, they sign Dee Ford in the offseason, and then Nick Bosa comes in and has been everything that you guys could possibly have wanted, in a player. The reality is you guys have a number 3 overall pick coming in off of the bench. So it's pretty impressive from a talent standpoint. And I think it's an awfully tough matchup for the Saints. I think the 49ers are so long inside. Those interior defensive players are kind of different-looking guys. Like I said, kind of high-cut, longer players. I think the running game is going to be immensely important for the Saints in this one. I think if they can't move the interior of this defensive line, I think it's going to be tough for them to pass protect against those guys if it becomes one-dimensional. So I'm awfully impressed with the D-line of the 49ers. I know the Saints are. I think it's a huge challenge this week.
Offensively, what's the run game been like from a consistency standpoint? I know Kamara has been up and down a little bit with injury, but how do you characterize the run game overall, particularly at home on the carpet?
Well, I'll tell you this, and if Coach Payton hears this, now, he was my coach for 12 years, so I'm always a little bit hesitant for criticism because you still feel like a player no matter what. But when he's committed to the run, the Saints have run the ball effectively. You look at the last couple of games here, and You know, look at the actual run numbers in terms of the yardage that they're getting, and it's not super impressive, hovering right around 100 yards. But when you look at the averages, they've averaged 5.3 and 6.6 yards a carry the last couple of games. So I think this group is more than capable of being explosive in the running game, and I think more than any game all season, Coach Payton will come in with the mindset that he's going to stick with the run. I know certainly there's a lot of similarities in the structure of this defense to what Seattle was, you know, when the Legion of Boom was there, when that defense was really dominant. A lot of similarities in the structure, not going to let anything go over the top. You're going to see a lot of cover two. You're going to see a team that really makes you work the ball down the field. And Coach Payton understands that the way to beat that defense is to run the ball, to be physical, to take what they're giving you and kind of be methodical. And quite honestly, that's what this offense is built to do now, is to kind of take over that type of a ball possession, methodical, take what the defense gives and move the ball down the field offense. So I do think that they're prepared and will have the right plan for dealing with this team, but it's all going to start in the ground game and Coach Payton's ability to you know, stay in it and not get frustrated.
Zach Strief, Super Bowl champ, former Saints offensive lineman with us here on 95.7 The Game. Tell me about Michael Thomas. He just won NFC Offensive Player of the Month. Dude's on pace to break Marvin Harrison's record for receptions in a single season. He's been a beast this year.
Yeah, listen, Mike Thomas is about as consistent and steady a football player as you'll find in the National Football League right now. And, you know, here's the thing about Mike, a couple things. One, he's incredibly physical. I think people really underestimate, you know, how big and strong he is. Cause he kind of has a, you know, when you really look at him on the field, he almost looks kind of wiry. You know, he has kind of an interesting, unorthodox running style. I don't think people realize how big he is until they kind of walk right up on him. So he's really physical at the line of scrimmage. He really is asking for press coverage all the time. But, you know, incredibly sure with his hands, had his first drop last week since week 7 of last season. So he's been incredibly reliable, and he's got, you know, Coach Payton and Drew Brees designing plays for him to get him the football in spite of, you know, defenses really just kind of living over on his side of the field. They've done a really good job of being creative and finding ways to get him the ball in spite of the fact he's drawn so much coverage.
Super Bowl champ, 12-year NFL veteran offensive guard with the Saints. He's on the call as the color analyst for the Saints, and you'll hear him this weekend against the 49ers. Zach Strief, kind enough to spend some time with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Zach, we know you're a busy guy, but we appreciate you jumping on the show with us. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Thank you, gentlemen. And just for clarification, I'm doing the play-by-play, not the color. I don't want Deuce to be afraid that I stole all this thunder.
That's right. Look at you. I'm sorry about that.
Big
no, Deuce. That's fine. That's fine. I don't want to call you out. Deuce is very sensitive.
Hey, tell Deuce to get
that's
over
fair.
It.
That's fair. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks.
That was Zach Strief on with Joe Lo and Dibs yesterday. And he brought up an interesting point to me. And we're getting some texts here on the Chilton Autobody text line that kind of build on what Strief said. But you heard him talk about how Sean Payton handles the run game, right? If he feels like he's going to go in there committed to the run, then they could get something done. Like they haven't averaged that many yards per game as far as a rushing attack's concerned. They've only averaged like 100 a game or something like that. Is what Zach Strief said, and I quote that. He said 100 a game or something like that. So this game, we're hearing about Michael Thomas, and we're getting a lot here from the 510. Thomas is arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. The Niners have struggled with mobile quarterbacks, which Brees is not, but Taysom Hill is. It's a winnable game for either team. My opinion is whoever makes less mistakes and field position will dictate this game, which is usually always a recipe to win. John from the Dale. Where the Dale is that Oakdale? So I'm wondering, are they going to be committed to the run? Are they going to try and rely on Kamara? And I'm pretty sure Latavius Murray is healthy. Are they going to try and rely on that 1-2 punch? Because it feels like if there's any part of the 49ers defense which has felt slightly vulnerable, if there's any part of their defense that has, it has been against the run game. Now, they haven't had many slip ups. Right, they really haven't for the entire season. They've played damn near perfect football, But the only time that these offenses have had success against this 49er defense is running the football. Right? Let's look at Lamar Jackson last week. They shut him down in the passing game. They didn't let him do much. They didn't let his wide receivers get more than one or two catches. Now, Mark Andrews got a couple, but and his tight ends did, but that's it. They didn't let the receivers do anything. Although, Willie Snead, when you got him and Seth Roberts and Hollywood, they took Hollywood Brown out, but when you got Snead and Roberts as your number two and three, yeesh. But it feels like for the past season, I mean, even in that tiny score the Panthers put up, McCaffrey still had that big run. A Kenyon Drake went in that first matchup against the Cardinals. They didn't let Russell Wilson do much in the passing game with the Seahawks. Are they going to try and commit to the run in this game, even though they have Michael Thomas? Because we've seen what the 49ers defense does against immobile quarterbacks. They could use Taysom Hill in some way. Very curious to see how Robert Saleh tries to game plan against that guy. But I do think that if you're Sean Payton and they're averaging 100 yards a game, but they haven't ran the ball that much, and they're averaging 5 yards a carry or something like that. Now, Kamara hasn't been healthy the entire season, but is this going to be the game where the Saints try and commit to the run just to kind of combat what the 49ers are going to do? Because we know the 49ers are going to go with their run game. And I personally think that I'm just going to go out there. I think Raheem Mostert needs to be a feature back. They haven't used much of a feature back this season. That's not how they roll. They use a running back by committee and just run it as many times as possible. But I think that you should only bring Matt Breida in on third down situations. Tevin Coleman hasn't been able to do anything lately, except he's very lethal in the passing game. And I think Tevin Coleman's a very good running back. That is, he's a very usable running back, and you could use him in different situations. But I would not mind like switching Breida and Coleman out on third down, just splitting them out wide, putting them in the slot, trying to get a mismatch against the linebacker. They're going to be without Kiko Alonso. The Saints are. They could have Manti Te'o in there. But do the Saints try and combat what the 49ers do and commit themselves to the run game too? Alvin Kamara, you know, he's been hurt a little bit, hasn't had the same numbers. He's got over 1,000 all-purpose yards already because he's such a dual-threat running back. But running the ball, he hasn't been that effective. From the 9-1-2, they'll be fine. Taysom Hill is there and there. The only thing I'd be worried about is if they switched out for Teddy Bridgewater. Wow. Just a slight on Drew Brees. By the way, I was watching that. I was just watching that play from the playoffs when Ahmad Brooks hit Drew Brees and made his neck look like something that was one of those wacky inflatable flailing arm flailing tube mans. Whatever you call those things. But that play was nuts, and then he drew the flag and killed the momentum. But you could see a similar situation this week because I think DeForest Buckner, he's going to be taking up double teams. The left guard, Andres Pete, the starting left guard, isn't going to be in. They got a backup left guard that's going to be in there. He's going to need all the help that they can get. They're going to be double teaming DeForest Buckner any chance they can. They're going to be leaving Nick Bosa one-on-one. There are going to be some times where the 49ers are going to be wide open to sack Drew Brees. But there could be a situation, though, and from the 5-1-0, that's silly. And I get that. I get that you think that's silly, but anytime Raheem Mostert has had more than 10 carries, he's done more than enough. He's when his name is called, when Kyle Shanahan walks up to him and says, "Hey, Raheem, we're going to be using you a lot this game." Like, I think that Raheem Mostert puts it in his mind, like, all right, I'm ready for it. Because if you look at his stats this year, at the beginning, when Tevin Coleman was out and they were going to be using him more than they would normally use a third string running back, 9 rushes for 40 yards, not that great. But then he went 13 for 83, 12 for 79, then 9 for 60 in another game, then 19 for 146. His average yards are 7.9 yards a tote, or 7.1 rather, not 7.9. But like, that's pretty damn good. Matt Breida coming off injury. He hasn't rushed for he's a big play guy. I don't know if he's going to have those explosive plays back right away. He could, and I could be completely wrong about that. But a lot of the reasons why the yardage for these games are so high is because he's had these longs of like 30 and 40 yard runs, and he manages to get those like once or twice a game. But other than that, like, you try and use him in situations where, you know, you're second and long and you need to get a favorable third down position. He's not been that guy to try and get you up to the point where you can get like a third and one or a third and two. It's just not been that way. And Jimmy Garoppolo has been very good on third down this season, and he's been tough in the pocket. And whenever they're at those points where they're, you know, third and five, third and six, Garoppolo's been pretty good and has bailed them out. But look, I'm just saying, Raheem Mostert, he's got the momentum, full head of steam, and he's got the speed too. His speed's very underrated. Not a lot of people realize that. From the 707, yes, use Raheem Moore. He earned it. From the 650, I think Debo and Kittle have a big game. Our defense get 5 sacks and 2 picks. I think the 5 sacks is pretty, I think that's pretty viable. But the 2 picks, I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily see the 2 picks. Now, you know, take Drew Brees for what he is, but he's not so much a dumb quarterback. Like, if he has a situation where none of his receivers are open, he's just going to throw it away. He's not going to give them much of an opportunity. By the way, I haven't really mentioned this yet, but Jaquaski Tart will be he's expected to not play on Sunday. You can expect Marcel Harris to take over for him. And that play, I didn't talk about that play from Harris enough, but that game could have been a lot uglier than just being down by a field goal if Marcel Harris hadn't made that play. We didn't give him enough credit for that this week, I don't think. But that fumble was huge because the Ravens were driving down the field. Lamar Jackson hadn't fumbled the entire season, and Marcel Harris went and made that play. So he's going to be in Jaquaski Tart's stead. And my main question, I think, for the defense is, like, look, I don't have any doubt in what the defense is going to do. I think the Niners are going to go in and win this game, personally. But if I had to be picky, be a radio guy, try and find something that could go wrong in the passing game, which really there hasn't been much that's gone wrong there, a reason that's made them, like, the passing game, the pass defense, rather, just so good is the communication. Right? Letting them know, like, hey, having the safeties, let the corners know, hey, I'm going to help you if this guy goes over the top. Hey, I'm going to be there, you know, if Ted Ginn Jr. goes over the top, right? I'm going to be there for, I got Jared Cook. He's my guy. You got to take this zone here. You got to take this third of the field. Like, the communication for them has been key. The Superdome, communication goes out the window, right? That's the only the only reason why I could see a possibly big play happen in the passing game, and they obviously have Michael Thomas. But that's just kind of a nitpicking to the fullest extent. I think the Niners do go in there and win this game. I don't know if it's going to be a shootout necessarily, but I do see the Niners winning. I think it's going to be 27-24. That's my pick. It's going to be a very close game, but Chase McLaughlin, they just waived him. It's going to be down to Robbie Gould, and Robbie Gould in the dome is going to get it done. They're going to win 27-24. It's going to be another close game. From the 209, continue running back by committee, go with the hot feet. And that's what they've done all season, and I get that. But for me, I just think I'd be fine if they just put Raheem Mostert in there and let that dude try and run wild for at least one more game. And then you can go against the Falcons and the Rams the next couple of weeks and then decide by the Seahawks what you're going to do. You're probably going to be also running by committee there as well. From 707, Harris needs a smaller helmet or something because that thing keeps falling off. From the 408, 49ers should defer the ball if they win the coin toss. They probably have a winning record if they defer the ball after the half. I'm not so sure about that. What's up, Lo?
What's up, brother? You know you needed me. I was coming in to say hello. What were you going to ask me?
Just 30 seconds.
Yeah.
The crowd at the Superdome, what's it like?
Unreal. I'm telling you, I was there when it was called the Aints. It wasn't the Saints, but I'll tell you right now, that place would get the bat rocking and rolling. I'd get my Manos Po' Boy sandwich on the way to the stadium, and we would get crazy. I'm going to tell you right now, that place is going to be absolutely rocking. Drew Brees and those guys understand, and the coach has already let the people know that the 49ers are in town, and let's need some noise because they're trying to go after the 49ers.
Jolo and Dibs coming up next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.